Ryan, thanks so much. It's Bill and Wendy's disco dance party.
I'm okay with that.
Denny Terrio will join us momentarily. But first, Alexander Zelbin joins us. Alexander's the managing editor of TV Guide. TVGuide.com is the website you want to visit.
Want to dance with us?
Dance with us.
Sure, let's do it.
All right, let's dance. All right, so we have been talking, everybody's been talking about the sex scandals that have been rocking Hollywood and Washington and everywhere. Is television being affected by this much, Alexander?
Oh, sure, a whole lot. This is, you know, like every other entertainment news outlet, this is something that we're covering pretty much every day at this point, and there's a new case that comes out every day as people, I think rightly so, are feeling more and more comfortable talking about things that either happened in the past or are happening right now. I mean, I'm doing a quick scan of our TV Guide homepage at the moment, and actually our homepage editors are doing a good job because the stories are varied up, but there's Jeffrey Tambor is the new one from Transparent, yeah, who's been hit with a couple of sexual harassment allegations. He's come back and say he's absolutely not a predator, but for better or for worse, more things are coming out right now, including Trace Lizette, and I believe a second actress came forward as well. But that's only one of many at this point, and I would certainly expect that more are going to be happening down the road.
Can I just say something? If you are Jeffrey Tambor, and it's not just one occurrence, and you know that it's going to come out, why don't you just at some point go get in front of it? Say, yeah, you know what? I got a problem. I mean, how can you deny it and then more people come and then come forward and then you're just sitting there looking like a liar? I think no one's ever going to trust you again.
Yeah, certainly people could speak better to this than I can, but it's incredibly difficult to come forward with these statements. And so let's say, sake of argument, Jeffrey Tambor, these things do turn out to be true, right? And more people come out. I think there's still an expectation after that first person of, well, it's going to end there. You know, I can deny it and then I'm done. But ultimately, I think you're correct. The way the atmosphere is going, you have to immediately come out and recognize that you have a problem, understand it, and seek treatment. You know, there's a lot of discussion about Al Franken, another former TV star, now a senator. And I do think, forgetting about his actions for the moment, he immediately came out and said, I own this, I did this, I'm starting an ethics investigation into myself that will be run by other people, that will be separate from me. So that's something that's been missing from a lot of statements, including, say, Louis C.K., for example, who didn't use the word sorry or apologize.
Not once.
Statement. Yeah, where it just seems like they're going to sit down and have a long think in their study, and that'll be fine.
Oh, go on.
You just need to see some. No, I was just going to say, you just need to see some sort of positive action coming out of that at the end of the day, I think.
What do you make of this guy, Mark Schwann? Now, he's the guy who was one of the creators of One Tree Hill. And in the last week, everybody from the cast, not one or two isolated members, but everybody came forward and said, yeah, when we worked for him, he was a predator. And now I know he runs the show The Royals. What are they going to do with him?
Is he coming clean and admitting it, or is he denying it?
Denying it.
Yeah, he's denying it. At this point, I think, like a lot of folks, his career, at least for the current time, is over. I don't think the Royals will be taking him back. He's been suspended after the allegations. Certainly, they're going to do an investigation, but between him and Andrew Kreisberg, who's the showrunner for The Flash and consultant on a bunch of other shows.
Arrow, too, right?
Yeah, he was also suspended. These things are coming out now. There's a little bit of pushback on, hey, these things happened years ago. Why are they coming out now? They're coming out now because people finally feel like they can actually talk. Unfortunately, it's affecting a lot of people beyond them. These guys have done these actions, and they're affecting hundreds of people on the crew. They're making them redo their TV seasons. They're making them suspend production, which affects a lot of people. And hopefully the best thing that is going to come out of this is people, first of all, won't sexually harass anybody. But second of all, they'll realize the real cost of these things, that it's not just an isolated incident that they're doing alone. It affects hundreds and hundreds of other people.
Now, what about, you mentioned Louis C.K. We started the show talking about how Sarah Silverman was very, very honest at the top of her show the other day and talked about, I don't know what to do. He's a friend of mine, but I don't forgive him. I'm not sure how to handle this. So his name is on four or five different television shows on various networks, most notably Baskets, one of the best shows on television. So is his creative input just going to stop with those shows? Do you still have him around as a consultant? What do you do?
No, he's gone. FX, who's the network for most of those shows, came out and said he will not be involved or in anything having to do with those shows ever again. I don't know legally if they're allowed to remove his name from the credits, which obviously is a very tricky thing, but he's not involved in any way on those shows.
I am so glad that those shows don't get canceled, like Better Things. I love that as well. And it's not fair to these people just because his name is associated with it or he provided the money that they're out of a deal as well. I'm so glad they'll continue without him.
I 100% agree. And on the other hand, you have a TBS show he was working on that was in development that is done now. They're just not going to even start with it.
How about that?
If that doesn't keep you on the path to the straight and narrow, knowing that your whole career can be gone in an instant,
right.
I mean, I hope this sheds light on it where people think twice, three times, maybe even five times before they do something inappropriate.
I completely agree.
Let's hope. Alexander Zeldin is our guest. He's the managing editor over at TV Guide. TVGuide.com is the website. We'll pick this up in just a little bit. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN. All right, we're talking television with Alexander Zeldin, the managing editor of TV Guide. Good news for superhero fans. The Punisher, Frank Castle, is coming to television. What do you know about it, Alexander?
Well, I've actually seen the first couple of episodes. Originally, the show was pushed, well, not officially pushed, but they were going to have a big, splashy Comic-Con panel back in October. It ended up being the same week as the Las Vegas shooting, and out of respect for that, they ended up not having the panel and then having the release of the show on November 17th, which they hoped would be enough space from there. It turns out, actually, they shouldn't necessarily have worried about that too much because the show isn't really about fun, quote-unquote, gun violence. It's really about the repercussions of it. It explores PTSD in multiple forms. It feels like a very responsible, very well-made show. The performances are great. John Bernthal, who plays the Punisher, Frank Castle, is a guy who watched his family killed, thought he got vengeance for him, and gets kind of sucked back into the whole military-industrial complex. If you've seen any of the movies of The Punisher and were not necessarily a fan, this is the version fans have been waiting for, I'd say. It feels like the best version. It feels like an FX version of what a Punisher show should be like. And if you're not a superhero fan, it's very far away from that. It's tied into the Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, Iron Fist, Defender shows, but it's very separate, and it has its own feel to it. It's really well made.
I love John Bernthal, too, from The Walking Dead.
He's a good actor. Yeah.
He really is.
So when and where? It's Netflix, right?
It's on right now.
Oh,
it's
streaming.
There's 13 episodes. It debuted 3:00 this morning Eastern time. So, you know, if you woke up very early like me, you already got to watch a bunch of episodes. But spend the weekend and enjoy The Punisher.
We can't get too specific for people who haven't seen it, but I watched The Blacklist last night, and a major character was eliminated. Do we know, is that for permanent, or is that just a, oh, you thought you saw this, but maybe you didn't see this?
Here's what I'd say with The Blacklist. As fans know, things are not always what they seem. And again, not getting into spoilers, but yes, it was a huge, huge death. But, you know, stay tuned is, I guess, what I would say.
Speaking of characters expiring on television shows, an animal died on The Walking Dead and is getting incredible amounts of love online. People didn't want to see this happen, but it was inevitable.
I didn't see it happening. I didn't think it would ever happen.
No?
I was crying.
Yeah, could we talk about this? Is it all right to spoil
it's,
it?
It's
it
was kind back of spoiled already.
It's everywhere online. I think. Yeah, go ahead, Alexander. I think
and
we're all right.
And if you haven't caught up on The Walking Dead, step away for a couple seconds.
Yeah.
So Shiva, everybody's beloved CGI tiger, unfortunately bit it literally on this past Sunday. This is a moment that was direct from the comics. So comic fans knew this was coming. It still really, really hurt when it happens. It happened a little bit differently than the comics, but she went out a hero saving Ezekiel. And it's a great big dramatic moment. It's one of the weird reasons I'm saddest to see Shiva go is because the CGI was so good.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It was a very convincing tiger, and they did a great job with it. And that's very rare to see on TV. So that makes me a little sad beyond the general sadness.
It needed to happen for the transformation of King Ezekiel, though, too. We needed to see that happen. Questions were coming up in our household. Will there be a walking tiger now as opposed, you know, will it be a walker? But they chowed down on some horses before, too, and dogs in episodes. And we don't at this point have any walking animals, do we? I bet we will.
Actually, a bit of speculation online about whether the rules in general might be changing soon, which we could certainly get into in a second if you guys would like.
Sure.
But with Shiva and animals, I think that's a pretty clear no. Animals don't come back as walkers. It's only humans.
But so they kept that pretty realistic.
Yeah.
Good.
Very realistic.
All right, good.
It's a documentary.
Well, because that would be terrible because, you know, it's hard enough taking out all the walkers that turn. Imagine if, like, squirrels and birds.
I mean,
it would be terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, you definitely couldn't get around anywhere, particularly in the Atlanta region. That would be the worst. Something, though, that we've been speculating a little bit on TV Guide about is whether the Walking Dead, whether the zombie virus is finite. There's a couple of rumors out there that Judith, this is very sad, I'm sorry for getting into this, but maybe Judith might die coming up, but not come back as a walker. And the theory is that anybody born after the zombie apocalypse started doesn't have the virus in them, which I think, again, very sad. I don't want to see any, you know, children die on the show or anything like that. But at the same time, it would give the show an out point in a way. It would say eventually the zombies are going to die off, which I think would be kind of interesting.
Here's something. Just to change topics for a second, Alexandra, I'm noticing a lot, and I don't remember this in years past, a little bit last year, but not like this year, where almost every major show has a winter finale. Where that, I guess that's their way of saying you're not going to see any new episodes until January, so enjoy this while it lasts because you're going to take a 6 or 7 or 8 week break. Is this a fairly new concept? I don't remember it playing out this way in other years.
It's been peeking its head out the past couple of years, but I think everybody has fully embraced it. It ties back a little bit to the rise of binging and the rise of streaming services where you have this more finite way of watching TV, a more targeted way of watching TV. So they're trying to sell you on the idea of we have the first 10 to 13 episodes or the first chapter and then the next 10 to 13 episodes or the next chapter. So you feel like you can end on a relatively definitive note and then come back in January or February with another big premiere. It's a way of selling it, but the nice thing about it is it's allowed showrunners to structure seasons differently so you don't have 22 episode stories that are broken up intermittently. Instead, it's a little more focused.
You also get a nice cliffhanger. Almost every show has done a really nice cliffhanger to end their winter season, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's one of the other things that's good about it is it leaves you guessing and it gets you excited over Christmas and over the holiday break.
I really want people to start watching The Mick. If you haven't watched it, it's on Fox with Caitlin Olson, who I think is one of the funniest women ever. Your thoughts on The Mick, Alexander?
I mean, I love The Mick, and I love the fact also that Caitlin Olson has found a life beyond It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, which, mind you, is one of my favorite shows on TV. But that she has created her own identity and found her own show is really great. And she is so funny on it. The cast is so funny on it. It's also one of the few new comedy breakouts, which is great. So it's the sort of thing you can jump into at any point. It's not ridiculously heavily plot-based. So,
although it is ridiculous.
Yes.
I will say that.
It's over the top.
Just watch it. Honestly, there are a lot of funny women out there, but I might put her at the top of the heap, Caitlin Olson.
Wow, high praise.
So funny.
Very high praise. And then, Alexander, one other thing. I've never seen a show do this before. I don't know if this is a new trend or not, but this past season of Stranger Things was called Stranger Things 2, as though it was a sequel. Have other shows ever done that? I don't remember ever seeing that before.
Not explicitly like that. You know, True Detective and other anthology shows, if you look at American Horror Story, for example, every season has a different title. But I think what they were trying to emphasize here is it was like a movie sequel. They were very heavily inspired by James Cameron's movie sequels, in particular Aliens, Terminator 2, I guess eventually Avatar 2, whatever that comes out. But they wanted to sell that idea, and I think it was a neat, very simple way of doing that.
production values, both Wendy and I noticed a lot higher production values for Stranger Things 2 than the first season. It's because they had a hit and they gave them a little more money to play with, right?
Yeah, but they actually made it work. You know, I don't know if you guys watched the after show, which, by the way, anybody listening, don't watch the after show the way you normally would watch an after show. Watch it after you watch the entire run of Stranger Things, because they're talking about spoilers throughout. But they talked a lot, which I was very surprised to hear, about how a lot of the effects were very practical. And also they figured out a lot of stuff on set. Like, mild spoiler, but there's a scene where Eleven goes crazy and blows out some windows and telekinetically closes some doors. That's something they hadn't really planned until they got on set and thought, hey, this would be neat, this would be neat. And immediately the special effects folks had to figure out on the fly while they were on the set how to make that happen. So even with the bigger budget and the bigger scale, they were still being very scrappy about it. And I think that shows in how charming it is on screen.
We also learned that Dustin improvised the ow.
Yeah.
It's so silly to watch, but really funny.
Yeah. It's great. That whole cast, they're so charming and they're so wonderful. I just want to put them like in a little bubble and preserve them forever so that they don't get ruined by
Tainted.
Hollywood. And, oh, exactly.
Let's hope. Alexander, thanks so much for spending time with us. Greatly appreciated. Alexander Zalbin, the managing editor of TV Guide. TVGuide.com is the website if you want to know more about the world of TV. Have a great rest of the week.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Absolutely. A quick break, some news, then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.